Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And welcome to this week's Thoughtful Thursday. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Hacking Your Leadership and leave us a review on iTunes. Also, check out our YouTube and Patreon pages. The links are in the podcast description below. Lorenzo, do you drink coffee?
I do, absolutely.
Like all the time, every day?
Pretty much every single day, yeah.
Yeah, me too. You know, last Friday, so 6 days ago, was International Coffee Day. And it got me thinking of the fact that there are days that I don't drink coffee on accident, and it doesn't go well. It doesn't set the day up right for me. And so I asked you, if you drink coffee, is that from a standpoint of like, if you don't drink it, then you know, you have a bad day? Or is it like, why do you drink coffee?
I definitely drink it because I feel like the caffeine from, you know, it's a little bit sharper, a little bit more awake, but also it's just a part of a routine. I think you said it, you know, a minute ago, like, this happened to me, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. Like, I didn't have a coffee that morning. And it wasn't that I felt tired or, like, not focused. I just felt like my whole day was wrong now. like, what else am I missing? What else did I, what things are not aligned how they should be aligned? So I absolutely do drink it more days than not. But it really is kind of a routine more than just the consumption of the caffeine.
Yeah, I agree. There's a comedian, and depending on how old you are listening right now, you'll either know exactly what I'm talking about or you'll never heard of this person before. A comedian named Andrew Dice Clay. And he got big in the 80s and 90s, and he famously, he was a smoker for a long time, and then he quit smoking because, you know, he wanted to be healthier. And he had said in interviews that he felt like his comedy took a serious dive when he stopped smoking. And what he realized is that it wasn't the nicotine or the cigarette that was making him a better comedian. It was the process of smoking it that was making him a better comedian. And so if you watch anything of Andrew Dice Clay, and you can go look for this online, a lot of the videos that you see him, he's smoking an unlit cigarette on stage. And it's because he said that the process of just holding it in his hand and putting it in his mouth and inhaling, even though it wasn't lit, he felt like it put him in the mindset he needed to be in to do his job well up on stage. And that's, I think, exactly what you're alluding to here. It's this the removal of the process is something that we have so intrinsically tied to the accomplishment of other things or the things we have to get done during the day, that being eliminated can kind of set the day off wrong or cause other things to fail, even though they're not really related. They're just so tied in our own head that they affect each other.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. And I think in leadership and in roles, like, I'm thinking as you were sharing that example of things that that I've had in my past that have been a part of a routine, and then by removing them or adding them back in have allowed me to be a more effective leader. So I'd definitely love to ask you that question. Like, has there been time in your career where maybe you've removed something from a habit or behavior, and then you, after a little bit amount of time, had to realize you had to add it back in because it was having an impact on your ability to be a good leader? But first, let's hear from our sponsors. Okay, so before we had our break, I asked Chris the question, have there been things in your leadership career that were either behaviors or habits or things that you were doing that once removed, you either had to reconsider or place back in to be a more effective leader?
Yeah, no question about it. And so I'm thinking about this in the context of just the major upheavals that have happened over the course of the last 18 months. You know, a lot of my consulting practice included a lot of travel before COVID. And, you know, sometimes 1 or 2 weeks out of every month traveling. And the time that I spent on airplanes was spent doing things in preparation for the week that I was about to be involved in, the week of work with whatever client I was going to. Sometimes that could be a 5 or 6 hour flight, you know, followed up by, you know, maybe an evening in a hotel room before the next morning of meetings started. And that was my time to make sure that I had all my ducks in a row, that I was prepared for with the week ahead. And that allowed me to make sure that I was spending time with my family as much as I could before leaving town for the week. And then when everything transitioned to Zoom, the first couple of times this happened, I recall feeling incredibly unprepared for the first round of meetings, and then thinking to myself, oh, this is because they're just different. Like we're on Zoom now or Skype or whatever it is, as opposed to me being in an office in a room with them. I do better looking at people face to face, you know, kind of feeling and reading the room, that the emotion that comes from being in the same room with people. I definitely do better with that. But I had completely discounted the preparation work that I had put in because I had the time to do it. And when that plane flight and the evening in the hotel room before the next meeting's days started was taken away from me, I didn't add that in at home before the meetings started or before the week started. And that it took like two or three times of that happening before I went, oh, that's why this isn't working out right. It's because I'm not prepared to be here. And I had to start, you know, layering that in and doing it at home before the week of meetings started, just like I would have done had I been traveling. But a lot of that preparation, it wasn't real tangible stuff where I was like unprepared to help them. It was the nuance. It was the, you know, getting to know some of the leaders of the organization on paper, kind of figuring out what their history was, to just kind of have some background, because that made me able to speak more intelligently on other things. And so I could hang, but it didn't have that kind of like that special sauce that I could bring in certain rooms when I had really done my due diligence. I think that was the biggest difference. And bringing it back in has definitely made those introductions go better.
Yeah, no, I like that. And you know, for me, I think it was moving from taking handwritten notes and, you know, growing up in an organization where you were always given notepads and pens and paper and different ways of, you know, taking notes in meetings and things like that, to then moving into the digital world and utilizing my technology to take notes on different types of apps and things. And it was like, oh, it's easy. I don't have to carry any additional stuff. I can just type things into a phone. And then what I realized over a couple of years is actually pen and paper works better for me. Pen and paper, when it comes to certain things, especially like, you know, strategies, follow-up, people development, stuff like that, where I could take notes, even if it's sloppily written, and even if it only makes sense to me, the physical action of writing things down helped me to retain it in my own memory much better, and provided me a point of reference going back from a physical standpoint of connecting dots on a piece of paper was very helpful in regards to myself becoming a leader. I still use my digital notes, but it's more in the creative space. So if I'm thinking about things that I want to do creatively, it's a great place to get quick ideas down, quick notes down, thoughts down, quotes down, whatever I want to do, and then search them later on when I'm kind of adding together my creativity and what I'm working on. But when it comes to leadership and people development, I have found that pen and paper and a notebook by far has helped me as a leader to both gather my thoughts and remember the conversations and dialogue that I've had with my people.
You're not alone in that. There's a lot of people who find that writing something down by hand leads to that retention a lot better than typing it out. And we see it in college classrooms too. There was this like kind of exodus away from writing into the, you know, typing things out space. That happened right about the time that I was in college. This is, you know, basically 20 years ago now. And there has been a resurgence of, and you see it as the technology has gotten better, the amount of tablets that people use where you can actually write something digitally, but you're writing it with a pen, but it's actually still digital because they don't want to lose the process of having it kind of drill into their head, but they also still want it digitally as opposed to on paper. And that's why a lot of those things are kind of making a comeback in terms of the technology being able to write it, but still keep it digitally. It's interesting. I just saw on LinkedIn maybe 3 or 4 days ago, Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx, did a post about how she showed this picture of these just stacks of notebooks. And she said that she has notebooks going back 20 years because she always has a notebook with her, and it's just a standard like 8.5 by 11 spiral notebook. And once it gets filled, it gets on the shelf and it stays there, and she starts the new one. And she says she never doesn't have one with her because for things like people development and everything you just talked about, it needs to be written down by hand for her to be able to retain. So yeah, the things that we do that are important, what is most important is being able to recognize that it has importance and to not just be okay with throwing it by the wayside or really being introspective on what this adds to my life. and realizing that there's a ripple effect. If you change something or if you do something differently, make sure that it is for the better or for the positive. Don't just change something up because the shiny object looks better. Sometimes what works is what works, and you should stick with it.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And have a great day.